Ukraine's power grid was damaged on a colossal scale this past week after Russian missile attacks. It's nearly full winter there. And Ukraine is actually one of the 25 coldest countries in the world. At Christmas time, that can usually be charming for visitors and locals alike. There's a strong Christmas tradition in Ukraine, but it'll be very hard to light up the towns and cities this year. The average temperature will be around minus 7 degrees, and having heating, light and water will be an issue for millions. We've talked to Mike Seawright a few times since this war began. Mike is the Aucklander who was once an investment banker with a yacht, and the yacht sailed away years ago, and Mike discovered a new purpose in life. He founded the New Zealand charity Relief Aid, run by volunteers on the ground here, and Relief Aid has also been on the ground in most of the major conflict and natural disaster situations we can think of over the past few years, especially Syria. It takes in food and medical supplies, but it also partners with the UK's Shelterbox organisation, trucking in larger aid items from them that are supplied from the UK. Mike Seawright, kia ora, good morning, how are you?
Good morning, Jim. I'm fine, thanks. How's it back in New Zealand?
Well, that's a complex question. I guess you haven't been in touch too much lately because the conditions there are a bit difficult. Where do we find you? I think you're about to leave Ukraine shortly for Poland, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in Kiev at the moment. It's been pretty hot the last few days. Yesterday, we had a number of missiles hit the city. Electricity is already a major problem here. No power, no light, no heating.
Oh. How would you describe generally now what you're seeing in Ukraine? You've been around the country, well, you've been there a lot since the war began, but you've been around the country this time again?
Yeah, I've been travelling around, visiting our sites, the places that we're helping families, which is, for example, one place about 3 hours north of Kiev, close to the Russian border. Unfortunately, what I'm seeing is the country is in free fall in terms of the humanitarian situation. What we're seeing now is a continuation of that bombing campaign, but also combined with freezing temperatures. Up in Chernihiv, where we were a few days ago, our cars were getting stuck in the snow. Family were huddling around heaters, if they were lucky enough to have them. And yet, still, massive destruction everywhere, rebuilding is simply not able to happen when there's no money and no resources within the country to do that. It is a dire humanitarian situation.
And how could they rebuild in winter anyway? That's the other factor, isn't it? And it's going to stretch ahead a long way.
Well, it's hard enough, as we find, as Relief Aid finds, moving trucks to different cities, out to the communities in these areas. And we're doing, you know, one truck, visit a village, help them once, and then out we go, drop off the shelter items, the humanitarian support that we have for them. But imagine trying to bring in truckloads of building materials to your site every day. How would you imagine working in sub-zero temperatures every day when you've got no water yourself to clean, to live your daily life? So life is very difficult here for families.
What aid are you bringing in at the moment?
So we've been focusing on things that keep people warm, so blankets, solar lights, because light and electricity is not present in many of these areas now, or certainly sporadic. Wooden stoves, wood-burning stoves, I should say, so that people can keep their homes warm. So these items are absolutely essential for families who have very few resources and are living in very, very cold conditions. It's very difficult to see people in situations that are truly dire. And literally every day I go out and visit families, someone is giving me a hug, saying thank you for coming, and also crying at the same time. And this is, you know, months after the war started. They're still bearing the scars of what happened before and what they're living through now. So it really is tough for them. But what's really incredible is the resilience that you see. They try and get one step forward, which frankly is not much, but nonetheless looking forward just day by day to see how they can survive. It's the true resilience here is amazing.
And we see these images in these situations regularly, and they sadden us, but they no longer shock us as they used to once, to the degree they used to. Compassion fatigue, are you seeing it?
Well, certainly we have seen that, or are seeing that, I should say. Support for Ukraine was massive at the beginning of the war. But as we see, actually, with many other conflicts, support wanes as time goes on. The war is continuing, and we need to continue to help families here.
In Syria, two of your staff were shot by snipers, and you had aid convoys targeted. You've had close calls in Ukraine as well?
Well, thankfully, Jim, we haven't experienced the same loss that we did in Syria. That was, I must admit, one of the hardest periods of my life, waking up in the morning to find two of our staff had been shot and killed by snipers. Thankfully, we haven't had that here in Ukraine, but nonetheless, it is a very dangerous operating environment. We are moving around the country. I've personally moved around the country a lot, had missiles strike very close to where I was working, where I was sleeping. This is a fact of life, working here in Ukraine.
I know you don't talk to military analysts, you know, unless maybe you've run into some, but people running operations of all sorts on the ground are often pretty savvy. Do people see a possible off-ramp for this war at all, Mike?
This is a question I ask Ukrainians here on the ground, Ukrainians who have families fighting, Ukrainians who are living in hot zones themselves, and they all say the same thing, and that is they don't see the off-ramp, not anytime soon anyway. They hope for the war to finish next year, but everyone I've spoken to do not believe it will happen early next year, and many believe it will drag on beyond 2023. So Ukrainians, they say we will not give up the fight, and they believe Russia will neither do that as well. So this war may, and is likely, to go on for longer.
You met a soldier on an overnight train from Kharkiv, a city we've heard a lot about in the northeast, and he was on leave after being in hospital, after being wounded. And without going into the shocking details, he had been in hand-to-hand fighting that was so terrible he was worried if he'd be safe around his family in his sleep. Yeah? You're meeting these people.
That journey was terrible. It was an insight into the real effects of war. This young 22-year-old man joined me on a journey from Kharkiv in the north, which at the time was very hot, down to Kiev. He was going to visit his family. Talking to him, he was hyperventilating the whole time. And as you said, Jimmy was in hand-to-hand combat, and this had a real heavy toll on his psychological well-being. He was a mess. This kid, and he was a kid, was just a young man who, I guess some months ago, was living his normal life, and now he was worried about hurting his wife because of the effects of what he'd seen and done on the front line.
And you can multiply that by thousands, can't you? That kind of trauma.
This is going to be the hidden... Well, this is a hidden toll that we will see into the future, that Ukraine will see into the future. These problems will persist through the generations, in fact.
What's the plan from here on in? You're going to have a break from Ukraine for a little while?
Yeah, I must admit, I've been away a lot this year. I'm very much looking forward to seeing my kids. I've missed their representative sporting events and concerts at school, so I'm really looking forward to getting back to New Zealand and spending summer, or at least some time over summer with them. So yeah, it's going to be a good time in a couple of days when I'm back in New Zealand and can give them a hug.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Was there a moment that made you change your life all those years ago?
Well, we're all faced with choices in life. I was lucky enough to be given the choice, or the opportunity, probably is a better way to describe it, to change from commercial business work into humanitarian. That's almost 17, 18 years ago and many war zones later.
Yeah.
But I'm very lucky, I'd say privileged, to have had that opportunity, and I don't regret my choices despite the challenges it faces in terms of family and time away from New Zealand. But I'm proud of who I've worked with, and I'm actually proud of the work that we do. So, yes.
How many
gave me a choice and was lucky enough to take it.
How many people for that best part of 20 years now have you delivered aid to, do you think?
Well, this is... I'm very much a numbers guy, Jim. If I look specifically at what Relief Aid has done, I was using a very crude term, running the numbers the other day, but we've supported over 300,000 people since founding in 2015.
Gee.
And this is thanks to the generosity and support of New Zealanders and many New Zealanders that volunteer their time to help us deliver aid to these war zones. So, again, thank you to New Zealand.
Thank you to you. I'm so glad your team and yourself are safe at the moment. Of course, the conversation with you has been necessarily pretty dark, but you've had lighter moments as well over there?
Yeah. This is it is a difficult job, and frankly, there are some pretty hard and dark days, but I was... Out in a village a few days ago, actually, just out of Kiev. And I was talking to a guy whose village had been occupied by Russian soldiers. One of the features of occupation we've seen here is that many of the houses are ransacked and everything, literally everything, is taken down to, you know, tools and toilet paper. But I was talking to him, his name was Vitaly, and I was saying to Vitaly, you know, like, was everything okay in your house when Russian forces left your village? And he laughed, and I must admit, it made me absolutely chuckle. But he said, Mike, the Russians weren't inside my house, and I know this because the vodka was still here when I returned to my home. I thought, well, lighter moments in the series of dark.
Yes, I can see why you chuckled. Very good. Well, I'm glad there have been those as well. Thank you for everything you're doing over there, Mike, and thank you for being able to talk to us, which wasn't a given the conditions, and stay safe, won't you?
Thanks a lot, Jim. Have a great day.
Mike Seawright from the charity Relief Aid.